Well, holding it steady on the highway this morning. At times it might be a little difficult depending on the wind gust, but they could get up to 50 in some open areas as high as 60. It's just going to be a gusty, windy, cloudy, and occasionally wet morning here. And by the end of the week, though, hang in there. We're back in the mid-teens Thursday, Friday, sunshine, 15, 17 degrees. But single digits before then. Obviously, we had a little snow, and it's gone, and we're back to cooler weather here. But I don't know if you swapped out your tires yet. Winter tire swap season is here now, and it could be to your advantage to book an appointment at least now rather than wait for the next snowfall when everyone else does. Lori Washera is with Cal Tire, joins me now. Nice to have you back on the show, Lori.
Hey, it's good to be back, Greg. Thanks for the call.
You bet. No, as I said, we had snow, it's gone, but it'll be back soon enough. Are people being a little more proactive at getting their tires swapped out in advance now or not?
You know, there is definitely some proactive people out there that that know the situation, know snow is going to happen. And then there's the 80% of us that don't believe snow is actually going to happen. And then we wait till the last second.
Well, take us to school on tires, Lori. When it comes down to it, most would think that swapping right over to a winter tire, like the studded winter tire, is the way to go. But there are so many options. So what should you do?
Well, depending on the type of driving and talking to somebody in the business that can give you some good advice, factory studded winter tire is probably the best option. But there is so many choices to choose from and so many brands, and they're all really good options. So a winter tire is definitely going to outperform your traditional all-season tire from anywhere from 15 to 30% better braking and traction in the wintertime. So it's a significant difference. Definitely well worth the investment.
If you don't want to swap out every year, what then kind of tire are you looking at?
We have a great option. It's called an all-weather tire, which is actually a winter-rated tire that has the durability to be left on year-round. So you treat it just like an all-season, but you get that benefit of the increased traction and increased braking capacity. So you get a much safer tire that you leave on year-round, and you don't have to think about it. You just drive.
Well, you're from Saskatchewan, Lori. Are studded winter tires still recommended for our province?
Well, the benefit of studded winter tires is they really outperform the others, especially when it comes to black ice. And when you get that kind of that right around that zero temperature, kind of what we've been experiencing as you start to get into winter, where in the morning you get up, you go to work, and the roads are really slippery, greasy, a little bit like a curling sheet. Those studded tires really have an impact on that. So those really do work well.
Lori Washera from Cal Tire, my guest. How much does tire tread depth actually matter for winter driving? And when should a tire be replaced then?
We recommend anything less than 3 30-second seconds certainly should be replaced immediately. But what you do is you could take a look at the tire, and depending upon the brand of tire, some tires, the actual winter compound that's on the tire runs right through the tread depth. Others only use that winter compound for part of the tread. So depending upon which brand you select, that pull point becomes a little bit different for when you should remove them. But once again, stop by any of our stores. We can take a look at it for you, and we can give you advice whether it's good to go for another year or it's time to change.
How important is it, Lori, to pay attention to that tire pressure light that comes on?
The benefit to the consumer is without checking your tires, which is what most people do, they don't check their air pressure in their tires, it will register if there's a difference in the pressure or if one has dropped below what it requires. So that means something's not right and somebody should take a look at it. So it's a great warning system for people to make sure that they check their tire pressure or have a professional check it for them.
Do more expensive winter tires actually perform better than, say, the mid-range options?
Yeah, actually, the premium brands certainly do outperform the entry-level brands. Just like anything else that you buy, when you buy something that's of a name brand recognition, typically you're buying a superior product and definitely has a better longer life and a better braking capacity.
What about rural highways and gravel roads in Saskatchewan winters?
Well, the challenge there is gravel is like sandpaper to a tire, and you want to try to get something that's going to hold up a little bit longer rather than just wear off in a short period of time. So you have to be careful and a little bit more selective when it comes to the rural driver. You want to make sure you get a compound that is soft yet firm enough to hold up to the gravel.
Okay, Lori. So if one leaves their winter tires on all year, will they quietly be judged by others or just wear it out faster?
They will just wear it out faster, and the odd person that recognizes that will go, what are they doing? For your safety, it's very bad. We want to make sure that we balance those tires out so you got equal traction on all four corners of the vehicle to make sure you're truly safe on the road.
All right, Lori. And everyone is trying to find the very best deal. Have you had to adjust in these harder economic times because tariffs are a concern? Are tires more expensive than they were last winter?
At this point this year, our tire pricing has remained pretty much the same as last year. There's been some industry increases as far as for cost of materials, but the tariff situation has not hit us the same way just because of the way we buy our inventory. We actually bought our winter tire inventory long before the tariffs and this whole tariff situation with our neighbor to the south was in place. So our pricing is very good, very aggressive this year.
Good to know. Getting ahead of the game there. Okay, we had a little snow on Thanksgiving. No snow in sight yet. Your suggestion about when to swap out the tires, is it right now or do we even wait for a little colder temperature yet?
It's right now. The golden rule is 7. And the average between the daytime high and the nighttime low is 7 degrees or lower. It's time to put your winter tires on.
Hey, thanks for all the tips. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Greg. I'm glad I was able to help you out this morning.
The boys of summer now in the fall, and so close down to World Series. Vladdy said he's ready to play Game 7 tonight.
Game 7. Are you ready?
Hey, you ask me if I'm ready. I born ready, and I want it all for this city.
He wants it all. 41 million Canadians on his shoulders. Can the Blue Jays do it? Beat Kevin Martel's Mariners. The angst, the agony you must be going through after the last couple of games. Kevin, how are you doing?
Yeah, nothing's ever easy, is it, to be a sports fan. All over again, if you're a Mariners fan, because Game 5 against Detroit, that 15-inning game, and now here we go, another winner-take-all game. And, I mean, you could say the Mariners blew it, in a way. They were up 2-0, won the first two games at home. On the road, I should say, went back home to Seattle and didn't do great there. And here we go. One game showdown tonight. I'm feeling a little nervous. Yeah.
Well, and just last night, was the story not you, Savage, at pitching for the Blue Jays?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this young man was really just like he was in Jupiter, Florida, playing in, A-ball. I think, like, what, 6 months ago back in April, and now in a game like that to push the Game 7. That was a pretty striking story.
He pitched well. I mean, the Mariners did make 3 errors, which not a lot of people are talking about. But I'll just throw that out there.
So. I love it. A true Mariners fan struggling in a province that awash is in blue this morning with part-time fans like me.
I got to tell you, even if the Blue Jays come out of it, even if the Mariners don't win, like, I'll be glad for the Blue Jays. I have obviously most of my friends, if not all of my friends, are Blue Jays fans. So it would be nice to see them. Either way, I think whoever comes out of the series is going to have their hands very, very full with the LA Dodgers.
Boy.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's get to a story here that has been a long time coming and a trial that's set to begin this week. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the case of Misha Pavlik, who, of course, died in 2006 at Regina Beach, killed during a grad party. And so now the second-degree murder trial will get underway for the individual. Now, we can't, if you're wondering, well, who is this person? We actually can't tell you his name because this happened almost 20 years ago when the individual was under the age of 18. And even now, all these years later, almost 2 decades later, he still actually can't be named. And so even though we might not be able to tell you his name, all these questions of what happened leading up to the death of Pavlik, we should be getting these answers through court. So today we'll start with jury selection, and then we'll see if the opening remarks can get going later today. We'll see.
All right. If you're just swinging out the door and you're thinking you got to swing by your favorite coffee shop and maybe the app isn't working, they are experiencing technical issues. A lot of different apps this morning, although they say the fix has been made, it's taking its time getting to us.
Yeah, so the outage is at what's called Amazon Web Services, and this might not surprise a lot of listeners, but it provides remote computing services to many, many different businesses. This one company, this one outlet of Amazon is impacting so many different things. So the outage is apparently fixed. I think some apps are still a little bit glitchy this morning, so maybe it'll take a bit of time.
My Ring isn't working yet. Yeah, my Ring is still off. The Ring doorbell cam?
Nobody's at your place.
Well, they could be robbing me blind right now, and I don't know. Thank you, Kevin Martel, from the 980 CJME Newsroom. It is 6:58. Well, normally after the Riders play on a Monday morning, we'd be washing green and white, but it's more blue, and everyone is following the Blue Jays, it seems, including this, me, a part-time baseball fan. Literally, I don't watch baseball all year long, but I've been caught up in this Blue Jays fever.
Game 7. Are you ready?
Hey, you ask me if I'm ready. I born ready, and I want it all for this city.
Six preseason home runs now for Vladdy. There he is. He's born ready. And 6:08 tonight, we'll be watching Game 7. As for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, the backups almost did it. Came close to beating the Bombers on Friday night, 17-16 the final, but no cigar there. So how does Belton Johnson, our Green Zone and Grey Cup champ, feel the game went? Let's find out. Belton joins me now. Oh, well, first, the Jays. Are you a Blue Jays fan like I am now?
Hey, I've been a Blue Jays fan for a while, since living in Canada here, Greg.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I did not know that. So you're pretty excited. Will they win tonight, Game 7?
I think they will, man. They, Vladdy and the guys, I think they're going to come through.
I'm a part-time fan, and I agree with you. I've been watching this run just because I'm interested. I've never been a ball fan, but I can't stop watching. I'm addicted to this now, too. But, well, good. All right. We both think they're going to win tonight. Let's go to the backups. Almost did it on Friday night. They lost 17-16 to Winnipeg. So how does Belton Johnson feel about, say, let's start with Jake Bear at quarterback for Trevor Harris, 15-20, 123 yards, 13 straight passes there to get us up to a 16-4 lead before Jack Cohen came in. What'd you think?
I thought he did his job, right? He looked good in some spurts there. I think, one time he had, 11 completions or something there. Like, he looked good. He looked the part, and I'm okay with him, right? Like, he did his job and those duties and everything.
From what I understand, Jack Cohen coming into the fourth was always part of the plan. Is that what you heard?
That's what I had heard with Jamie and the guys, right? Like, if a coach tells the players, hey, Jake, you're playing, the first three quarters, Jack, you're coming in the fourth. I've been a part of that in my career and everything when something like that happens. So, and again, it's a game that meant nothing. I know you want to win and everything, but the Riders, they have first place. They got to rest their guys, man.
Well, had Bear stayed in, you think it would have been a different outcome?
I'm not sure, Greg. I'm not sure at all, to be honest with you. There were some penalties and some missed things. Let's put it like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was a little messy at times. Antoine Brooks Jr. had 5 tackles defensively, and C.J. Revis moving to safety. Yeah, that seemed to work pretty well. Would you keep them together for the West final like that?
I think I would, right? Hopefully Milligan, he'll be back. And then, like you said, Revis there, safety, Brooks Jr. there, then Sam Backer and everything. And the kid, he has lots of energy, right? Like, whenever he makes a play, he dances or do something. I think he's infectious for that defense and the team overall as well.
Belton Johnson here. Now the Riders host BC Saturday night, the final of the regular season. Do you sit the starters again? Does Harris get playing time? You're the coach. What are you doing?
I think you got to play those guys who rested last week, like Harris, you got to play them at least a couple quarters, I think, right? Because if you don't play them, that means they get, they don't play until November 8th, and they would have had an entire, month off of playing. So I think you have to play them a little bit there, Greg.
Okay. Well, really quick, too, I got to ask you this. What was the reaction on the postgame show from listeners about this play here, if anything at all? I'll remind you first of the play.
It's drifting right, and it is wide. So the miss from 49 by Lather, and Vavil brings it out. 25, 30, 35, 40, and up to the 50. It's Vavil.
All right, they got him at the 50. Is that the kind of play you worry about in the West Final? What was the reaction of the postgame show?
You can't miss a kick like that, man. Like, you cannot, because you saw what happened.
49 yards, though.
You cannot miss that, Greg. You can't, man. And if you miss it, you better miss it, just in the back of the end zone, wide right or left or something. Like, but, no, I think plays like that, that's what I do worry about come postseason.
All right, Belton. Simmer down now, buddy. Go, Jays!
All right.
Turn your focus to the Blue Jays. I don't know how busy you're going to be tonight, Monday Night Football and the Jays, but I think it's Game 7 and moving on to take on the Dodgers. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, go Blue Jays. Have a good one, Greg.
Well, nothing going to break his stride, Mike. Oh, my little wiener dog friend, Mike, from Evan Bray's household, was in the wiener race yesterday at the Thunder game, which they won, by the way.
They won to the handily, yeah, they did.
And so there you were, set the scene. There was over 40 different wiener
42
dogs.
42 wiener dogs.
Okay.
It was mayhem before the race, Greg, because they're all barking at each other. And it was like, I was like, this is not going to go well. The second we... like literally released Mike, I was expecting a fight. I had no idea he could run in the wrong direction.
Well, set the track conditions. What were the track conditions like first?
It was, they had to run basically from one 40-yard line to the other, right? Okay. So it was a little bit of a
windy
dash.
Wet?
It was windy, not wet. It did start to rain at the end, but it was cool.
Because Mike is a mutter. And I said if it was going to be wet, Mike would win easily.
Yeah, well.
So your bride is on the other end.
That's right.
Jody's
releasing him. I'm at the finish line there trying to coax him. He's not paying attention to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm calling his name or not. He's too distracted with other dogs.
Suddenly they say, go! Yeah. And
he runs this kind of, I don't know, angle straight across about four lanes to catch up with this other dog.
Who's in the lead.
Who's in the lead. He's quite intrigued by this dog. And then he just prances alongside this dog, letting the dog cross the finish line.
And he came
him.
In second.
Well, that was in his heat.
Oh, yeah.
Second and gets you nothing.
Okay, so some dog named Willow.
Willow won the whole thing. That's right. Mike is, home.
Willow won the entire day?
Yeah, Willow won. They had the final heat, so all of the winners had to, and Willow was the winner.
And the odds makers did have Mike as the odds on favorite to win.
Did they?
Yesterday. But a fail for Mike. Huh?
Yeah.
I've seen the video. I know we're both going to share it on our socials.
Sure.
Because it's an absolute riveting race.
Oh yeah, it's
must
riveting,
watch.
All right.
So we'll share that here. Well, and that was yesterday. And congrats to the Thunder too. How about Ben Goff on Saturday night? It comes alive because Evan Bray arrives.
Well, they had a full house at their community hall. They do a men's night fundraiser every year, put on by Hardy Latane, who used to be he's a retired RCMP member, but used to be stationed there. He's kind of the mastermind behind the night. They've got a committee. Bob Poley was out there. Nice. AJ Ouellette and Logan Ferlin showed up.
How many people were there?
They probably had 200, 250.
You like were the a hall, big draw.
The hall was packed, and they raised thousands of dollars. Nice. It was a typical small town event. So great. I loved it. I threw some stuff up on our Facebook page there as well.
I bet you left your mark in Ben Goff knowing you. Okay, so it's Monday. I know there must be a roundtable of justice coming up today.
Yeah, so we're going to talk. We got firefighters on the roundtable of justice today, actually, because we're going to talk arson investigations, what that looks like. Everybody's talking. I don't know if you've seen the Apple series Smoke. Have you seen this new series?
Not.
Okay,
no.
Well.
But I've watched shows like Rescue 911 Chicago
okay,
Fire.
Well,
and all
there
that.
You go.
Could
well,
you ask if it's anything like that in real life?
Do
they have a number of relationships in their lifetime as they do on those shows?
Yeah, that's the avenue you want me to go? So we'll be talking arson investigations on the Roundtable of Justice. I've got Jana Dutton on the show as well. It's kind of a cool concept. Jana owns a number of coffee shops, and she decided one day she was just going to send a message out to hundreds of connections she has on LinkedIn, many of which she'd never met before, saying, how would you like to meet for a coffee? She meets them for coffees individually and then writes books. She's written 3 volumes of her book, basically Conversations Over Coffee.
It's a coffee table book.
It's a coffee table book. That's right.
Does it open to become a coffee table?
No, it's not quite that far, but I am looking forward to the conversations with Jana.
Well, again, if I may, you should ask if she thinks that's a good idea. It was for Kramer.
You
on
really
Seinfeld.
Like to provide me with ideas for my guests.
Just try to dress up the show a little
okay,
more for you.
Thank you, Greg.
Anything else, or are we done?
We're excited for the show. I'm glad to be back. I've missed you, Greg. Missed you.
Yeah, that's right. You've been gone a week.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Glad
well,
to
then
be
I
back.
Will tune in. 8:30, Evan Bray is back.